I've learned a lot over the 4 decades of health and fitness and being in the trenches with the greatest in the world. And one of those things I've learned a lot more about and how to build better muscle is nutrition and how it has changed over the decades. And that's why I have the Titan Meal Plan for you guys out there that are confused about nutrition. I'm gonna set you straight. Get a hold of me today. The link will be in the comments down below for you guys. Everybody, get over to the Titan Meal Plan and I'll see you in the Titan Crew where I will fine tune any difficulties that you're having. In honor of today's guest, I had to get mentally ready because this guy is a true savage, a UFC champion, and a friend. Rampage Jackson has been in the MMA game forever. But there is such a backstory to how he grew up and was created into this incredible superhero to me that I really wanted to get him on here again and have you guys listen to his story. It is a motivational story, I think, for anybody, no matter where you are born or raised or your circumstances. This is a really important one for you parents, for you kids to take the note, not just because he was a champion at UFC, but because of the fact of his hardships as he was growing up, and he overcame those and became the greatest in the world. So let's bring on Rampage Jackson. Rampage Jackson, the legend from Pride to UFC. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man.
Up early?
Up early. I'm normally not up this early unless I'm training for a fight, but you know, it was good. It was an honor to come work out with you.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm learning. I seen some stuff I ain't never seen. I seen some equipment I never seen before.
There we go. Yeah. And you've been in the gym just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. More martial arts side of the gym.
But you still had to do weight training through the martial arts.
Yeah.
Or did you not as much?
Early on in my career, I didn't. I had my first coach was a Muay Thai coach.
Okay.
And he was the head coach or whatever. He's his name Colin Oyama from Hawaii. And I was fighting at 205, and he told me not to lift weights. Because he said, like, with my body type back then, I was like,
really. How old were you at that time?
I was a young man at that time. I was, I think he started training me when I was like 22, 23, 24.
And you were already fighting at 205.
I was fighting at 205.
Would you cut down to 205?
Yeah, well, at that time, I probably was walking around weighing like 215.
Okay.
And I just had, you know, I just lost weight and had to cut maybe like a couple pounds.
I got to stop you then. Because in the health and fitness world, there's people will say that I'm genetically gifted. And I say, no, I'm just hard work over years. And I say the actual guys that are out there that are genetically gifted are the guys that don't work out all the time. We're in the NFL locker rooms and you ask them what their diet is and they're like, diet? I eat hamburgers. That to me is a true genetic freak. You, 22, walking around at 210, and I remember early Pride years and all those things with your physique, and you come out and you got the shoulders and the traps, and that's not from weightlifting. That's just from you being you.
Yeah. He wouldn't let me lift weights because he thought that it was going to be hard for me to stay at 205. He said, with my body type, maybe I might put on muscle really fast. But I kind of wish I hadn't listened to him, because now I'm older and I'm not good at lifting weights. I don't know much about it. I wish I would have been lifting weights.
You're with me now, so I got you.
Yeah.
We'll start now.
Yeah.
Because you're still a pup. You're 40.
Yeah, I'm 40. That's not a pup no more.
That's a pup, baby, to me. So over the next couple of years, me and Rez is your boy, and that's how we met. Yeah. And we're gonna get you ready.
All right,
we're gonna make you in better shape now.
I need it.
Let's go into this, because this is a shock to me. Most guys that I know in the MMA world and stuff, there are all these guys that started with wrestling or boxing or some kind of martial arts at a young age. It's not the same for you.
Yeah,
you're a good old Southern boy from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And you started martial arts at 17.
Yeah.
Which is so, you wouldn't think it's late to the common Joe, but to that world, it's late.
Yeah, it was really late. I wanted to play football. I wanted to do something. My neighborhood I grew up in, it was no wrestling. But when I moved to a better part of Memphis, it was wrestling. And I went on from there. I fell in love with the sport. And it led me to MMA.
What'd you fall in love with?
I used to like picking people up and slamming them. I don't know. I always wanted to be a pro wrestler.
Okay, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we just had Billy Gunn here. So this is cool. So you wanted to be a pro wrestler because you got the personality and definitely the look. You got that unique, strong character personality. And that's the one thing I loved about you is there's a lot of champions, but there was just something deeper in you. When I watched you on TV, I go, I like this guy. I haven't met him, don't know him, but I'm a fan. Thanks, man. Thanks, I'm a fan, man. Of how you carried yourself, how you talked, and how you did your stuff. I like the controlled chaos that you brought.
Yeah, it's for me, it's fun. It's like it was my avenue to go out there, and you know, it's hard. It's really hard to explain. I grew up, you know, where you know, my family used to always make fun of me because I was a weird kid howling, and you know what I'm saying, and you know.
Which, thank you. You scared my dogs when you came in the house. Appreciate that.
Yeah, Panda would never be no friend.
Yeah. You come into the one place that has dire wolves and you howl and they all go, what the heck? That's a real wolf. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm still kind of upset about that. The dog didn't like me.
If you guys don't know, right now Panda is hiding under the table and scared of him. So
yeah, I'm not happy about that one.
I'm still scared of you, though. Yeah. So
I made a mistake. Yeah, but fighting was good for me. It's good for me to show my personality because, you know, I'm a big kid. I like entertaining people and stuff like that. So it was really good, you know. It was a really good avenue for me. I'm glad that I found the sport of MMA. It changed my life. Wrestling changed my life. And it was a mistake going into MMA. I never planned on being an MMA fighter. I didn't watch it. I didn't know anything about it. But one of my friends I used to wrestle with in high school was doing it. When I got back from college, I was wrestling in college a little bit. And he asked me to help him train for a fight. And they threw me in a fight like 2 days' notice with the champion of Memphis.
Wow! And right in with the guy.
Right in with the guy, and I ended.
How old were you?
Oh, I was like I was probably like 20, 21.
Wow.
21. Yeah.
So the first fight, 2021, and from ground zero, in a sense, from competing in a MMA fight, they throw you in with the champ.
Yeah, my first fight threw me in with the champion.
What happened?
I ended up beating him by decision. It was a tough fight. You know, I grew up street fighting, and I thought I knew how to throw hands and stuff, but as soon as I got in there with a real fighter, man, it was a learning lesson. I had to like really grind to win that fight because all my family came.
Everybody was there.
And I didn't know what to expect. It was a fight. You know, I wouldn't have been ashamed if I would have lost, but you know, ain't no quitting me. So,
right.
The guy, he was like a jiu-jitsu purple belt at the time, and I've only heard of jiu-jitsu a couple of days ago when I was helping my friend train for the fight. It was a real tough fight.
So even though you went through this battle and you won, were you a different person after that battle? Which is so fast because it was one day, a couple of days before, boom, you're fighting the champ, and then the next day, what changes happened between that week, from the start of the week to the end of the week?
Man, it opened up my whole mind. I was like, wow, you know, it's a sport out here that's tailor-made for me. It's not pro wrestling, but this sport is tailor-made for me because the part I didn't tell you about me is that I grew up fighting. Maybe that's why you know, I took to the sport so fast, even though with little experience, because in Memphis, we're known for fighting. I don't know why my talent's like that, and I had a lot of little bitty friends, so they always was getting picked on by bullies. So I used to always beat up the bullies for them. So
you're protecting.
Yeah, so I always had the experience in fighting. I loved fighting. I didn't like to start the fights, but I always loved fighting.
But if somebody's picking a fight, you jumping in.
I'm jumping in.
No. Right. You picked the wrong fight.
Yeah.
I'm good to go.
And I'm going to finish it. And so I like, this sport is tailor-made for me, and I can't get in trouble for fighting people. So
relative to the streets.
Yeah, and it changed my life, and it changed it in a positive way.
When you were growing up with the family and everything, and you started getting in fights in the street, what was it that was, besides, because it doesn't sound like to me, it was you going out on the streets looking for fights. You were out there with your people, your crew, your friends, and then trouble comes looking, and you were up for it.
Yeah.
And then you also grew up in an area that was known for fighting.
Yeah, I grew up in a tough area that's known for fighting.
Where'd you actually grow up?
I grew up, you heard of Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Yeah. My dog was named Elvis.
Oh, really? Then
my fans know I love Elvis.
Yeah, so I grew up in South Memphis. It was.
I love
you,
that.
Yeah, for you to understand, it's basically right down the street from Elvis Presley's mansion.
His house.
Yeah, his mansion's.
I could do a whole show just talking about Elvis. So yeah. I talk about that. But that, what's it like? So you grew up there, and it was a tough neighborhood.
Yeah, it was a pretty tough neighborhood. You either had to know how to fight or you got picked on in my neighborhood. And I run with the older kids. And my little brother and my
was that because of your size or what was that because of?
Well, I want to be honest. Like the people that lived across the street from me, they knew my grandma. My grandma was the candidate of the neighborhood. You know what that is?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go.
Okay.
Go.
In the South, you know, you have like a candy lady. She sell like all the candy. Like instead of walking all the way to the store, you just go to this candy lady house. So everybody in the neighborhood knew my grandmother. And, you know, she got sick when I was young. My mom moved in to help take care of her and stuff like that. So right across the street, it was these guys. They was all brothers, like five of them, all brothers. And they was way older than me. And they knew me since I was a baby because, you know, they used to come over to my grandma's house and buy candy and all that stuff. And they liked me. And, you know, I had a bunch of cousins and, you know, my little brother and stuff like that. So these older guys, they liked me. I was tougher than all of them. They taught me how to play football with them and stuff like that. And they taught me how to fight. From a young age, so when I was 8 years old, they like took me on their wing. I was their do boy, and like you know what a do boy is?
No, go.
It's like
go.
Boy, do this.
Boy, do this. Yeah, okay.
And I'm the one. Okay. You know, I'm, right. My grandma wasn't a candy lady no more because she passed away. So I had to go to the candy lady for them. The other candy lady, which was like a little farther away, go to the store for them, wash their cars. And the bad part was, you know, I was young. You know, these guys they were selling drugs, so I had to hold their drugs and hold their guns and. And then, you know, when I got a little older, I had to beat up the people that owed them money. Because these guys basically raised me.
Right.
And, you know, when my mom and my dad got divorced, you know, we were kind of poor. So, you know, you grew up, you're a part of your environment.
Yeah.
And so that was my life. That's how I grew up. Ever since I was 8 years old, these guys, like, took me up on their wing. And, they thought they was training me to be like them. But what they taught me was that I didn't want to be like them. I learned, like, not to be like them, because a lot of my friends was, you know, getting shot, going to jail, dying, and getting hooked on drugs. And so me living in this environment, I learned the opposite of what my brother, my cousins, them, and they wanted to be like these guys.
Right.
I learned not to be like these guys. And luckily, when I was 17 and stuff, I found, like, wrestling, and then I found MMA and went a different direction.
You're a good Southern boy. Family is everything.
Yeah.
You're in, which I would call a dark surrounding. Did MMA save you?
Yeah, MMA saved me. Wrestling saved me. MMA saved my life because, you know, who knows? You know, I feel like I'm an alpha male, and I feel like I
can confirm you are. Yeah,
that's what I feel. I learned that about myself when I was in my 30s. So I feel like I like fighting. I wasn't a bad guy. I like fighting, and I feel like, I probably would have been one of those guys hanging out in bars or something, waiting, kind of like a superhero. I always wanted to be a superhero. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you were already protecting the smaller guys.
Yeah, I've been one of those guys, just looking for somebody to beat up or something, just so I can get that anger out or something like that. You know, and so I think like MMA, like, you know, it kind of like challenged all that. It channeled all that to me to. Going like, you know what, I'm just gonna put my skill against this guy's skill as a sport. And for me, I see it just as that. It's a sport, and I have the worst temper on the planet, but I've only lost my temper one time in an MMA fight. So I'm really proud of myself that I can like control myself, see it as a sport, and just get whatever I need from that, just being a fighter.
If you are confused about training, do not worry. That's what the Titan training plan is for. For you guys to subscribe to this plan, you also get the additional coaching from me in the Titan private group. Get in there today, and I cannot wait to start working with you and making your dreams come true. Let's get back to the show.
Jumping back to when, for me and my people I talk about and what genetics you have and how you are, I think one of the cool things is that you were genetically gifted, but you never relied on that. You put in the work.
Yeah.
And I know that you trained over in England, and they started getting you up early, started getting you to run.
Yeah.
And one of the things I always talk about is I don't think of anybody in any sport that trains more than MMA because of the fact that there's so many things and so many facets that you got to cover in training. It's not like you can skip wrestling, you can't skip jiu-jitsu, you can't skip the workouts, the cardio, the sparring. There's so much, and something you guys can't help but do is overtrain.
Yeah.
That's just going to go with it because you have to do so many hours of training.
Yeah. I feel like that. I feel like I've overtrained a few times for a couple of fights.
And we were talking about a couple different aspects. Do you ever go into a fight injury-free?
Injury-free, 100%? No, never. But the closest one was when I fought John Jones. This kid is like one of the best fighters in the world. And at this time, I didn't know he was that good. I didn't know he was the best fighter in the world at this time. I just knew he was really good.
What year did you fight him?
I'm bad with years.
Okay.
This is one strange thing about me. I'm not going to be the old guy. Back in
back in 75 when I... Yeah. See, I go right back to 60s and 50s, so no.
I think about that sometimes when I'm bad. But this had to have been at least 7 years ago. And I was almost 100%. I had a knee injury from college, but at this time it wasn't bothering me. And I was in good shape. I went to Colorado, trained the hardest I ever trained. Normally I only run like 3 miles. I was in Colorado in a high altitude.
Right.
I was running like 6 and 7 miles. I was training really hard.
Everything was 100.
Everything was 100. I was knocking sparring partners out. And I was overconfident. But other than that, I never been to a fight 100%.
How'd that feel, not to lose, but to know that you battled the greatest, or possibly the greatest?
Well, you know, I'm a fighter that fights with honor. I fight with a lot of honor. I want to, when I beat a guy, I want to know, like, you know what, I beat him because I was better than him.
And he was at his best.
And he was at his best. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it 100%. John Jones is the best fighter I ever fought. I fought a lot of people, and he's one of the best fighters I ever seen. But when I fought him, he fought like a coward. You know, he fights really dirty. I said to his face last time I saw him, I said to his face, he pokes you in the eyes, and he keeps his fingers in your eyes, and so you can't move because you got that long reach. They had to, like, change the rules just for him, but they don't get on him. And he kicks your knee backwards, which is something that's, it should be a no-no. You know, like, we're Conrads. It should be something that it should be so illegal.
A chess match relative to I'm trying to purposely hurt you.
Yeah, instead of trying to just beat you and stuff like that.
And knock you out.
But it's not only trying to hurt you, like, your eyes is your weakest thing. Like, when we automatically close our eyes when they're in danger, right? And kicking your knee back in, those are 2 points. Like, if you're a fighter, those are 2 things that, like, in the back of your mind, like you know you have to really, really worry about, because somebody kick your knee backwards, it's the fight's pretty much over, unless you can.
Your fight's over, and then also possibility of career over.
Your career could be over, and then somebody poking your eyes, it's like real psychological. I don't know who taught him to do that and be that way. It's smart, but it's no honor. So I can say, like, even if he hadn't done those 2 things, it still would have been tough to beat him. All I'm saying is he didn't have to, you know, he's so good, he don't have to do those things. But he's a real smart fighter. If you get in the best of him, you can go back and watch his fights if you ever want to think about the mind of an MMA fighter. If he's in a fight and his opponent getting the best of him in any way, he's going for your eyes and kicking your knee back, which is smart. And you got to sit back and think, like, why do I want to win fights that bad? Should I take this technique on? Or should I continue to fight with honor?
More of that samurai approach.
Yeah.
Complete honor. Yeah. Asking questions about this is the amount of training you would have to do to compete as an MMA fighter. Was there nutrition when you first started, or nutrition come into play at any time through the whole career?
My first time doing any nutrition is when I fought Kevin Randleman. I don't remember the year.
That's a beast.
That's a beast.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Physique-wise, too. I mean, just outside of, I don't know how much weightlifting he did and stuff like that, but he just a great physique.
Yeah, it looked like he did a lot of weightlifting. I fought him and young in my career, and I was really worried about him because he was a great wrestler. Like I said, I only started wrestling when I was 17.
Right.
So, you know, if I ever went against a great wrestler, they always had advantage on me. My hands was probably a little bit better, and my ground game was probably a little bit better than his, but he was good at controlling, taking to the ground, and he looked really strong. He looked stronger than me. So I met this bodybuilder woman. Her name was Dawn Real, and she was the first bodybuilder I ever met. Cause you know, come from Memphis, you don't see any bodybuilding.
Right.
And I moved here, and I met her, and she said, let me do your nutrition, let me do your diet. But she said, because MMA guys, y'all don't know anything.
Right.
Yeah, and it took her a couple of weeks, and she tweaked my diet. The first diet she had me on, I didn't have any energy, and she upped my carbs. What she had me doing was eating like 6 times a day, really small meals.
And before that, you were doing?
I was doing fast food.
You know, 2 or 3 times a day?
Yeah, I was eating like 2 or 3 times a day.
All right, I got to stop you for a second. Because if you guys go back and look at his physique and see what he looks like at that time, and then on top of that, so you got this guy that looks like, because Randleman looked like he was could win Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
But you were no slouch, and you had these shoulders and arms and traps, and you'd come out. And because I could see you as a pro wrestler too, because you could just walk right over and just be you in the pro wrestling world, because you looked so intimidating, looked like you did trap work all day long, and you didn't do that, and you were eating fast food. And I always say that's the genetic freak, that's the guy, and you were training at least 6, if not more, hours a day.
Yeah,
at least.
When I was young, yeah, 6.
So you were doing everything, the pinnacle of destroying the body in a sense of health and fitness, and not creating a physique.
But I think it messed me up because now I have hypothyroid. I think that's kind of messed up my body doing and with the cutting weight wrong. I really think I'm trying to talk to some specialists and they can't really tell
me. We're gonna work on that. We're gonna work on the nutrition aspect of this, you and me together, and with Rez, and we're gonna work on the training with you. And I'm gonna show you guys at 41.
Yeah, 41 next month.
So in a year from now, we're going to straighten a lot of that stuff out, and I'm going to help you on this bad boy.
All right.
I'm good with that?
I'm good with that.
So because I'm going to make sure that we work on the thyroid, making sure that's good, making sure the testosterone level is healthy, and making sure that you're good, because I hate the fact that with most people, you give up a lifetime of your passion and stuff, and you put everything on the line. And I don't think society realizes how much damage happens to you.
Yeah.
And so now you just went out, and I hate this when I see true warriors. They go out and they give everything and their whole heart, and by 30, by 40, they're done, but they're broken, and then the society just kind of pushes them aside.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to help you and get you in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know, the fans, they get on me. They don't understand. They just think I don't work out no more. I train just as hard now as I did back then, and my diet is even better now.
See, they don't comprehend some of the main things. Yeah. Is that you got your body used to eating a poor nutrition and training 6 to 7 hours. So your body adapts to those things. And so now we got to reverse and take you, which society goes, wait, no, you wouldn't take them off of the training. Yeah, we would. We'd slow your training down to where you'd only train like 3 days a week and get your body used to that, and then put nutrition in a right way. Back to like that 6 meals a day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wake up at 4 in the morning with me, but we'll get you up before Heath Evan wakes up. So at least by 7.
Yeah.
And then get the nutrition together, and you'll see how we can try to reestablish your body and your metabolism and make you healthier at this stage. This is going to be a pet peeve of me to make sure, and I'm going to be on you on this.
I'm down.
So just know that, man.
You have no idea how serious I am. And like when you look at yourself in the mirror and you see like your new you versus how you was back in the day, and like I know what I'm doing. I know that I'm not eating fast food and stuff anymore like I was when I was younger, and how my body was back then, and versus I'm like I don't even know this guy. Like what's going on? I went to like a couple of specialists and they can't tell me anything. They can't tell me nothing. I'm like, why you guys are a thyroid specialist? Why you can't tell me? They don't tell me anything about diet. All they say is like, "Hun, you gotta take these pills for the rest of your life."
They want to, and I understand this. In the medical field, what they want to do is they don't want to fix it. They just want to take care of it for the moment. Let's give medicine. You're fine. Go on your day, and that's the average.
But it can be fixed, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 100%. But the here's the problem. Education only gets you so far. Mm-hmm. Experience. Nothing can beat experience. And the great thing is I've lived this for 40 years, and I understand this, and I've worked with experts in the sense of experts in health and fitness that actually do this stuff, the athletes. Mm-hmm. And I work with them, and I change it. Yeah, the problem with there's no problem with education. The problem with people and education is that their cup is full and there's nothing else there.
Yeah.
And what they have to do is take in consideration trying to reestablish the body from the start and bringing it back down. And medication is understandable and why the majority of doctors do it, and it's the easiest way to just take care of your problem. And what's funny is that my girl, as we were going through the process of having a baby, they gave her so much medication that it caused a hyperthyroid. Yeah.
Wow.
And now it's been 6 months and we're fixing it and it's coming back to normal. And it's, and it's from 100% terrible that you got to remove this. This is the worst thing in the world. The doctors are demanding, do not have a baby. You will never have a healthy baby. You're destroyed. We got to operate. To me going, oh my gosh, I hope this doctor loses her license. To the point of where she's now healthy without doing any of that stuff. Wow. And then that's the problem with the medical field, with the reality of being an experienced person that does this. So
right.
For you guys at home, this is a completely different discussion. I'll go into that if you guys want to go into that at a different time. Yeah. But this, I'm going to help you.
Oh,
and we'll
you.
Be able to talk in a year, and you go, they said this, that, and the other thing. They said medication, when everything can be controlled in different ways.
Yeah, I'm open for that.
I love the fact that you're somebody that came from a place that, because I can't relate with where you grew up. I can't. I grew up in a location of Kirkland, Washington, where we left the front doors unlocked and the cars unlocked and everybody was nice and everybody's neighbors and there was no crime and it was just a beautiful time. And I grew up in that with a family that was born and raised to do martial arts and powerlifting and bodybuilding, because all my 9 brothers and sisters did it. And so what I like is that even though I grew up in that kind of family, I still went and lived my dream. And I love the fact that you came from a place that I can't even fathom. I can't even understand how tough that is to grow up like that in that neighborhood. And you still came up and have lived a beautiful dream.
Yeah.
Where so many people would be honored to be able to say, you're on the level of Rampage, a legend. And I love that you did that, and you show these guys. You show them more than most of the people that I know that you can go from somewhere like that and still be yourself.
It's a mindset. And me working out with you today, I learned a lot just by watching you, how nice you are to everybody in the gym.
Oh,
and you know what I'm saying? It's genuinely nice to everybody, and you know everybody's happy to see you, and you even stop your workout to, you know, I never seen stuff like that before, and that inspires me to be more like that, because my thing is, I don't know, I guess I'm like socially awkward now. I used to be a big people person before, and now I'm socially awkward, and you know, I have to deal with it. It was good for me to see someone like you, how nice you are to people and stuff like that. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, because in the gym, like, I normally like shy away, like, you know, I'd be kind of nice, but like, you know, from a, you know, standoff point. But now you're invited and hugging people, shaking people's hands, taking pictures while you're working out.
Kills my workout, but
I still love this sport. I still got 2 fights left on my contract.
I love it.
And then after that, I don't know. I'll probably try to focus on more TV and movies. Probably, you know.
I'd like that for you.
Yeah.
Because I want to see more stuff. A-Team.
Yeah.
Man, that was awesome. And you've done others than that. But, I mean,
small stuff.
Yeah, you're doing it, though.
It's fun.
You're doing it.
It don't hurt as bad as fighting. It don't hurt as bad. And it's fun. But that's what I want to do. I like entertaining people.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do once I retire. I can start studying more acting. I haven't studied enough. I need to.
Now, we've talked about this, and you guys don't know this, but it's cool how ambiguous you are to the whole, I don't know who the producers and directors, I just go out there and do this. And that just kind of shows you, again, you have that childlike quality of dreaming and who you are that you don't try to pretend, which is great, because that is just 100% who you are. And I think you, as you, I'd watch you do everything. What, you know?
I wish a lot of directors and producers felt that same way.
Oh, I can't
win an audition to save my life, man. I'm just not good at auditioning because it's not real. It's not real. I have the hardest time doing. I audition for stuff, and then I see it in the movies, and I see it on TV. Like, wow, I could have
done that character. Done,
but I'm just not good at auditioning. So you know, it's just one of those things. I guess I have to study more.
Auditions are always an interesting thing. You go in there, and this has happened a number of times. I went in, I'm like, oh, I crushed that. I absolutely crushed it. And then I talk to my agent, and they're like, no, nothing. And then I go in, and I absolutely blow it. And they call back and go, you got the spot. You got it. They loved you. I'm like, what the heck?
It must be your personality you're looking for then.
Where can we see the next fight? Is it anything? You got two more fights on your contract.
I got nothing signed, but I'm in Bellator.
Okay.
You know, I got two more fights with them. I don't know when my next fight is or nothing like that. And hopefully, before I retire, I would like to do a boxing match, but I don't think that's in the cards for me. But I would love to try one boxing match because, you know, I've done everything in MMA that I train. I've done a kickboxing match. I've done jiu-jitsu matches. And I've done...
Because you were over wrestling. With Pride, too.
Yeah. And I did a K-1 fight.
And a K-1 fight, too.
I did two K-1 fights. So I just want to do one boxing match because then I would have had a match in all my arts that I know.
Right.
And so maybe I can even do like a, you know, when I retire, I can do like an exhibition or a little.
I hope it's not for 6 months because I want 6 months with you.
Oh, yeah.
Of nutrition and training. Because then I want to, because in 6 months, then they see you come out and they go, well, wait a minute.
You think I can change in 6 months?
6 months? I'll guarantee it.
Wow.
I'll guarantee it. 6 months. We're going to get some picks in this next month of you. And then in 6 months, we'll do some more picks.
All right.
And we're going to check your blood levels. We'll check your T level, everything. And I'll show them.
All right.
I'll show them what's creation. Yeah. If you work with somebody that's willing to learn. And I can already tell you're that person.
I'm willing to learn. My only problem is right now I have a chef at my house. I found somebody.
That's great.
But then she's like temporary because I found a good one. It's friends of friends.
If we don't do a chef, we do Icon Meals.
Okay.
And that way it's there.
It's like meal preps?
Meal prep that I basically talked to Todd Abrams, the owner, and said, this is what Rampage is doing. Mm-hmm. Send them that. And so every Tuesday you get these meals. Mm-hmm. And then all you got to do, put them in the microwave for 2 minutes, boom, boom, sit down and eat. So like, and I tell people this, and this is from WWE guys that travel, and you know this, they travel. They get their foods, and I teach them all this protocol. You get the food, you get it planned. Like if I'm flying somewhere, the food is there a day before, already in the refrigerator in my room. So I'm flying from here to wherever it is. I'm in Tennessee in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's already planned. The food will be there in my hotel room, so I don't miss a meal. And I don't miss meals, because that's what it really comes down to. The nutrition is 90% of this. Mm-hmm. And then me just changing up your training so we get your body to recover again and establish a foundation with the least amount of work. Because everybody's like, here's your world. Your world is, I'm going to train 7 to 8 hours a day doing wrestling, all this stuff, boxing, matches. So your body adapted to this incredible that nobody could get healthy on. You could be a great fighter. But just the breakdown of your body could not recover. So now what we're going to do is teach it to do the least amount of work, but still get better. And that's where everybody loses it. Everybody wants to be a beast, right?
Right.
There's a difference between being a beast when you need to. Mm. And there's a point of being training smarter. Mm. And it's always about individuals' bodies. Mm. How much can your body take? How much little it take? Rez can do 50 reps on things. Now, if I can do that once a week, my body will respond. Mm-hmm. Now, if I did that all the time for me, it would adapt to it.
And it wouldn't respond?
Then it wouldn't respond.
Oh.
That's what your body's done. It doesn't respond to 8 hours of training now. Now it's just shut down. Oh. Now your T level's gone. Your testosterone has dropped. All these things happen because you shut your body down by the amount of training you did. So we have to now teach it to go back to this. And I always talk about Mona as a genetic freak. Mona just had a baby 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago. She's already back in shape without training. Holy shnikes!
Oh.
All right, we're going to wrap up this thing because Titan just showed up to see the Rampage.
Look at him.
Rampage and Titan. What's up, baby?
Oh, man.
Brother, thank you for doing this today, man.
Thank you for having me, brother. Thank you.
And you guys just saw it. He's locked in. I'm going to work with you. Get this training and everything and nutrition down.
I really appreciate that, man.
100%, man.
I've been trying almost everything.
Yeah, I just can't have you eating with Rez on the Sundays and the club and the 2 a.m.s.
Yeah,
the,
we haven't been to the clubs in years.
I know.
Yeah. Long time.
These guys. You know me. I'm in bed by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Thank you, man. We're going to do this again.
Oh, sounds good.
I love it, man. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Rampage Jackson, the legend. I am a fan. Let's go. Let's go eat something again.
Was I right or was I right? The man created his future. No matter where he was born, raised, his circumstances, he succeeded. And I hope you guys take that away from this sit down with Rampage Jackson. Again, to me, a friend, a role model to anybody and everybody. And we're going to get some incredible workouts this year together as well. And I did do a challenge with him where I'm going to get him in the best shape that he's ever been in his entire life. So stay tuned for that. Have a great day. This is my show on Generation Iron, Mike O'Hearn. I'll see you next Friday.